Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Four heat domes sit across the globe. North America, where one city, Phoenix, Arizona, has spent 19 days in a row at temperatures above what is considered habitable for human beings. The North Atlantic, where sea surface temperatures have broken all previous records. Yesterday, the water was 24.5 degrees Celsius. Another over Europe. Average temperatures in many countries surpassed 40 degrees Celsius at the moment. There were at least 61,000 heat-related deaths last year in Europe when there were similar temperatures. And another heat dome in Asia, where a village in China recorded that country's highest temperature, 52.2 degrees Celsius, the day before yesterday. I'm joined now by the man who leads the organisation that has oversight of all of these figures, Petteri Talas, the Secretary General of the World Meteorological Organization. Good morning to you, Professor Talas. How out of the ordinary is it, can you tell us, please, for three continents to simultaneously be gripped by such high temperatures, while also one of the largest bodies of water in the world is breaking all of its records as well?
This is unusual, and because of climate change, we have started seeing this kind of events happening more often, and we were also breaking several records last summer in China, also in 10 European countries, and also in western parts of North America. And this year, what is different to last year is that that we have very high temperatures in the Atlantic Ocean and also in the Pacific Ocean, thanks to El Nino, which is taking place at the Pacific region. So it's going to be very likely that this year may be the warmest year on record because of these warm oceans.
All of which has led you to highlight that there are serious health risks now that are posed by these temperatures as weather events like these intensify.
That's right. And as you already said, last summer we got 61,000 casualties in Europe, and it's very likely that we will see similar or even higher numbers this year if this heat wave persists. And it's not only Europe; we may see similar problems in Asia and also in North America.
So, what do we do? What advice are you giving?
Of course, we are in the middle of climate change, and unfortunately, this negative trend in weather patterns and frequency of heat waves will continue until 2060s, independent of our success in climate mitigation. And of course, this is a message that we should raise our ambition level concerning climate mitigation, stop using fossil fuels, coal, oil, natural gas as soon as possible to prevent the worst things to happen.
Yesterday on the programme, we had a conversation with Dr. Eleni Mirivilli, the Global Chief Heat Officer, of the United Nations. And we were making a comparison between how it is that we treat storms and how we treat heat, that we, you meteorologists, will give categories to storms, will give names to storms, but we don't do the same thing by way of raising public awareness and consciousness around heat and heat waves. Is that something that should change?
Actually, many national meteorological services have scale for these kind of for these heat risks, and at the moment we have the highest risks announced in many Mediterranean countries due to these high temperatures. But we haven't started naming the heat waves, and perhaps there might be a good reason to do so in the future.
Is that something that's under active discussion?
We have had some limited discussions on that. There are some organizations which are dealing with heat waves and their health risks, and there's a proposal from their side. But so far at WMO, we haven't had very serious discussions on those issues.
Okay, we want to delve down into the health implications of all of this a little bit more depth. But Pateri Talas from the WMO, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. We're joined by Dr. Yvonne Smith, consultant cardiologist at Galway University Hospital. You've heard what Pateri Talas had to say there. Can you do the science bit for us, please, Dr. Smith, and tell us what is it that happens to the heart in a heat wave?
Okay, good morning. So I suppose we have to think about how the body gets rid of heat. So there's more blood flow to the skin, more loss of salt and water through sweat. And obviously the repercussions then of that is that the heart has to beat faster, have to work harder. And that puts a certain stress on the cardiovascular system, and particularly, obviously, when the air temperature is closer to body temperature, or in the conditions that you're describing, even exceeding body temperature. So I suppose we know that that can increase the risk of heart attack, but it also has repercussions for people with other types of cardiac conditions, such as people with high blood pressure, and very much people with heart failure. A condition where people struggle at the best of times to balance fluid and salt and fluid overload. They struggle particularly in extremes of heat and cold, but certainly patients with heart failure will really struggle in high temperatures.
And is heart attack the greatest health risk associated with these extreme temperatures?
It's certainly one of them, I suppose. I mean, a heart attack is the greatest health risk across the Western world. And despite, you know, huge gains over the last 50, 60 years in terms of reducing risk of death from heart attack because of, you know, targeting smoking, better control of blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, encouraging exercise, healthy diet, and so on, some of those gains are obviously going to be offset by climate change, climate emergency, and the stress that that poses. And I suppose we saw that in the study that Professor Talas referred to, you know, an excess of deaths last year in Europe from the heat of over 60,000, you know, particularly in elderly people and particularly in women. So I suppose we need to consider those who are the most vulnerable, you know, those who are over 65, really.
So is that women in the general population or women, elderly women that are more at risk?
Elderly women, but particularly, I suppose, because women tend to live longer. But I mean, the study wouldn't have specifically looked at why the mortality rate was higher in women. But I think, I mean, generally, we need to focus on those over 65 because they're more likely to have underlying heart conditions. They're more likely to be taking medication, such as blood pressure medication, you know, which can lead to much lower blood pressure than you would like in extreme heat. And as we age, we all lose our ability to regulate our body temperature. That's the natural phenomenon with aging, which makes those, you know, over 65 more vulnerable.
So if you are going on holiday, if you're in a situation that you have to stay in the shade, that you have to monitor your water intake, that you have to put on the sunscreen, stay cool and so on, does it lead you to question the value of people continuing to go on holidays to places where they're going to be experiencing 40 degrees plus temperatures?
Absolutely. I mean, I suppose, as you said, the general advice, of course, is to, you know, avoid being outside between 11 and 3 in the hottest part of the day to protect your skin and to maintain hydration. So, you know, to keep drinking, ideally water, even if you don't feel thirsty. And while that might be good general advice, you know, that's going to be very challenging in somebody, for example, who has heart failure. So a patient with heart failure often will have baseline low blood pressure. Then we treat them with medication to try to help their heart to squeeze better with medication that often lowers blood pressure. And then we treat them with tablets called diuretics to get them to pass more urine, so to lose water and salt through the kidneys. But yet that all becomes extremely challenging to balance that if they're losing a lot more fluid through their skin, if there's more blood flow to the skin surface causing low blood pressure. You know, all of that can be extremely difficult. So certainly, I would say for patients with heart failure, you know, deliberately traveling to areas where they're going to be challenged with extremes of temperature is going to be very difficult.
Dr. Yvonne Smith, Galway University Hospital, thank you very much. And from Galway University Hospital to the National Children's Hospital and the overruns after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.